Do you have an idea for a business, but you don't know what the next step to take? Or do you already have a business and you're ready to level up?
Is it really all about the hustle, or can you have some work-life balance?
On season 2 of Business Fluent,
we talk with entrepreneurs in all stages of their journey
so you can get tips and strategies to avoid the common mistakes and leverage best practices
so you can not only grow a thriving business, but you can live your best life.
All right, everybody, this is Tony Gallo, President of Lorain County Chamber of Commerce. I'm here with Lisa Hudson, Director of the SBDC, the Small Business Development Center at Lorain County Community College. Today, we are very honored to have Javon Terrence as our speaker. We're excited to talk to him. Our idea this year has been, or for this season, is to talk to a bunch of young entrepreneurs and what they're doing, what they did, and why they continue to grow.
So, you know, Javon, I love your business, but, you know, I really don't know your story about how you ended up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your business and kind of your journey to where you are today?
So, yeah, I'm a local fashion designer here in Lorain County. So my journey started in the fourth grade, actually. I started designing sneakers for the love of basketball. You know, my dad, a really good basketball player for Lorain City Schools. He played at Emerald King, and all my uncles, he had 5 brothers and 1 sister, so they all played sports. My real name, last name is Simmons, so here in Lorain, a lot of people knew the family, knew that there is sports background, so I grew up in that and had a love for basketball at an early age. So I kept up with sneaker design, wanting to work for Nike. All through high school, actually. So I would take all my art classes, wanting to go to school for industrial design. I loved concept cars and sneakers and stuff like that, watching Jordan play. So after high school, in high school, I would paint people's shoes and make money on the side and come up with 3D models in class before basketball practice. We had studies, like a study program, and I would be making shoe models while everybody else was working on homework. And they're like, why are you making that? Why are you doing that? But my vision was really into the future about concepts, creating things, and bringing it to life. Little did I knew that it would take a turn after high school into fashion from a stint of staying in, well, actually before that, a stint at Lorain Community College as an art major. So I got to learn the foundation of art, which really helped me because, you know, going forward, I design my own fabrics now. But back in the story, a year at LCC, I went to San Diego after that, and that's what sparked my fashion background. I wanted to go to fashion school. It costed too much money. I was sleeping on my cousin's couch, paying him $700 a month to sleep on a couch.
Wow.
And then, you know, looking at it, I was like, this is just too much money. So I'm going to, you know, come back to Ohio. And then in the year 2006, I worked at Lake Screen Printing and learned a little bit of entrepreneurship from Ben that owns the company, and I was printing t-shirts for a year. And then 2007 rolls around, I'm like, I'm gonna take a chance at being a fashion designer. So I started. It was crazy because in middle school, when I had home ec, it took me a month just to make a pillow. And then the first thing I made when I started teaching myself was pillows, you know, basic things. So it was pretty funny how that came full circle. So in 2007, that's when I came out as a designer, and I wanted to do something that I wasn't seeing in Lorain County, and I wasn't seeing other designers doing anything. I didn't even know other designers. So
was your family supportive of you at during this time? Because, you know, I can see where you're kind of on a path that not a lot of young people from Lorain are following at this point, right? So kind of how did your friends and family react to you along this journey?
I think my friends and my family were thrown off. Everybody knew me as a basketball player and a sneaker designer. So when I came out as a fashion designer, it was just a lot of like the cliche things and stereotypes that people would think, like, are you gay? Or, you know, what type of art, like, fashion's not going to make it. You're not going to make money doing fashion. I literally called home when I was in San Diego. I had got accepted to fashion school, actually, downtown. And I remember calling home, like, hey, I got accepted to fashion school. And they're like, okay, but you need to get a good job to make some money. Like, fashion's not going to make money. So my career literally started off of proving people wrong here in Lorain, which was a good fuel for me coming from a basketball background because I was competitive. So I put that into the business and wanted to prove my parents, my family, my friends wrong. So that's why I kind of had to take a leap of faith and do things really at a fast pace and on a high level. So right when I first started fashion, like I started doing shows and making clothes at a fast pace just to get my name out there.
No, that's awesome because, you know, I think we see a lot of times people say, you know, people want to see someone who looks like them in a chosen field to encourage them to go in that field. And I would have to say they're probably, you didn't probably see a lot of people that were young African-American straight guys in the fashion design business. So, you know, was it strictly kind of that prove them wrong mentality and your love of it that pushed you forward?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I always tell interns or kids that are trying to get in entrepreneurship, and it doesn't even have to be fashion, but you have to love whatever you're doing because I didn't even start making money till 3 years after I started making clothes.
Yeah, which that is typical for business owners, by the way. So
yeah, I didn't even own the business. I didn't even own the name, the rights to the name. I was just kind of going in the dark and doing, you know, as the brand doing fashion shows in Cleveland and just trying to get people to know the name and me as a designer. So my mindset wasn't a business mindset going into it. It was of, you know, more of getting people to know what I was doing as a designer. And just, I went about it the wrong way, but in return, you know, I was well known in Cleveland. So I put in that time every weekend doing fashion shows in Cleveland.
Is there, where did the name Terrence come from then?
So Javon is my middle name and Terrence is a nickname that my aunt, one person called me. My aunt would call me Terrence because like my childhood photo and my uncle's childhood photo like looked identical, so she would call
that was
me
his name
Terrence. Yeah, so and it hit me because it was, you know, I had a few funky names that I knew that was not going to sit well before I came out with the brand name, but it hit me one day and I was like, I could show this name in Paris and around the world. And I remember saying that back in 2007, and then 2015 rolled around and I'm in Paris. So, you know, I didn't want to come out with a name that didn't sound American, but didn't sound fashion either. So I wanted to have both of those balanced out.
And for the listeners, that don't know who you are, you've done New York, you've done Paris, you've done where else?
I've done New York Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week, and LA Fashion Week.
LA, okay.
And you know, give your website so people can check out your designs.
And my website is www.javonterrence.com. So it's just the designer name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got brick and mortar on Broadway in Lorain.
Yes. Yep. It is my location is owned by the Palace, which is really cool to be in the historic district here. They're really good landlords and we try to collaborate and things like that. And I've been here 5 years at this location, almost 10 years on Broadway though.
Yeah. So you've really seen the resurgence of Broadway and downtown Lorain. So for those people that aren't familiar with the city of Lorain, their downtown has really made a big turnaround and they've done a lot of street beautification and there's new shops and restaurants down there. And you were really one of those early adopters. So good for you. Did you have any mentors along the way? Like, was there someone guiding you or that you would go to for advice on your journey?
My cousin, we grew up together. His dad had a tailoring shop for renting suits and stuff like that when we were younger. So I would try to pick his brain. You know, we would go out to eat sometimes and stuff like that. But as far as having a mentor that I could call on a regular basis, no. So basically, I tell my interns that my mentor became doing fashion shows in Cleveland, because I learned a lot of what I didn't want to do and how I wanted to present my brand, because I felt like there was a lot of fashion shows going on, but they weren't looking really professional. So I would watch a lot of YouTube videos and watch the top name brands and then just manipulate that into my brand. I think that's why the longevity of the brand has stayed pretty good, because, you know, when models work with us and then when we have teams of people, they know that we're really on a high level. So it's like, don't even contact me if you're not trying to do something that's creative.
Do you ever get the pull that you think you need to move to a major metro area to take your business to the next level? Or do you think you can get to where you want to be staying in Lorain?
I am an example of that. You don't have to move to New York or LA. Every year I try to do more projects that will continue to show other designers or other entrepreneurs that you do not have to move to a bigger city. And this is just because of social media. Now, in the 1980s, I probably would have had to move to New York in like the 80s or 90s, because there was no social media. So now you can use these resources. I stay in contact with people I've met, in Paris, in New York, all the time. So now with those resources, you're just one message away from being able to collaborate with people, and it's in a fast pace. But yeah, back in the day, I would have probably had to move from Lorain.
No, I think that's awesome. And I think it's a lesson learned for a lot of smaller communities and people trying to launch businesses in smaller towns. The internet opens up the world as your market, and, you know, and really understanding that you can leverage those tools to reach the world. And that's, I mean, you know, a lot of times people complain about the internet and, you know, and technology and fast moving and, you know, but there's been so many benefits, and having the world as your market is definitely one of those. So kudos to you. So when you look at your career so far, is there one thing, a decision you made along the way that you say, yeah, that was really the right thing, I'm really glad I did that? Or in reverse, is there something that you did and you were like, oh my God, that was the dumbest thing I ever did?
Yeah, I got both of those. The career changing thing for me was to go to Paris, because I only had known a month before about the fashion show. The lady contacted me. She saw my clothes on social media and said, get ready if you want to show your collection here. And I was like, is this for real? And then it drove me to create, push the limits, because I didn't want to make that trip that far and take mediocre pieces. So I went from making a lot of everyday wear pieces into making more red carpet pieces, which pushed me to be more detailed with the pieces. So I'm really glad that I took that chance and went. Because I could have easily said, nah, this is too much for me, I don't want to do this. And then the other thing that I would not do again is make two collections at the same time for New York Fashion Week when it was my first time showing. I made another company's pieces, and they needed 16 pieces, and I was showing 14 pieces.
Wow.
And it was just like, I had to close my store, and it was just a crazy ordeal, but we pulled it off. It was just, I would never do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good learning experience. And then like for what the company paid me, it wasn't even worth it. So
Javon, when you've been in Paris or you've been in LA or New York, have you met some younger designers that sort of blow you away, that you're like, wow, she's only 15 years old, or he's only, you know, 18 years old, or something along the lines of that. I mean, you almost always have somebody who may, you know, kind of catch your eye and say, wow, that's just amazing.
Oh yeah. I always show respect to the designers. There's even designers here that, there's a couple that went from models to being designers and making pieces, and I like their work a lot. I try not to compare other designers' work to mine. I just try to like be better than my latest collection, but there's always good designers. The thing about Paris was just funny for me to see, though. It's a different taste and fashion. It's funny because the show that I did with the lady that I did the shows with, her taste is more on like the gowns and stuff like that. So my taste is more of everyday wear, and I can make gowns, but that's not my thing. So it was good to see that. And then I go to New York and it's more of like my style. So like going forward, if I did another Paris show, like I know what to bring and what not to bring, because it's like a different market there, you know?
So you mentioned earlier that when you got started, you weren't really thinking about the business side of things. As your business has grown, how did you learn that piece of it? Like the kind of, I'm going to say the boring stuff, the accounting and record keeping, the HR stuff. Like, do you feel like you've incorporated that better into your business? And if so, kind of where did you pick up those skills?
Yeah, I mean, I was just winging it from 2007 to 2010. The first show I got paid for was Cleveland State. They invested in me as a designer, so they put up like $10,000 for me to do a fashion show at Cleveland State, and I got paid $500 to do 60 outfits. So I would never do that right now. But that's when I first started dating Mia, and she brought in the business aspect. You know, that was in 2010, so she made me look at the brand in a different way instead of just, you know, awing people from fashion shows. You know, so ever since we started dating, she brought in that business aspect. And then 2 years after that was the 2012, where the city of Lorain had the pop-up shop program. So I was kind of naturally went into having a store. So we went out and bought Business for Dummies books and did a lot of research and became our own business entrepreneurs on our own, and learned what, you know, we wanted to do and what we didn't want to do. Like our first 2 years was pretty crucial. It was funny because I only had one rack of like made pieces, and the whole rest of the store were printed t-shirts, and I would hate it. I always would tell her like, I want to sell my made pieces instead of just a bunch of t-shirts. And it's funny now, you know, people want to still come in and buy t-shirts. So it's like, it teaches you what people want to buy and what they like. And then you get that camaraderie in the city.
Well, that's great that you've gotten some support from the community, because I think a lot of communities really do want to rally around the local business owners. So,
hey, Javon, have you taken classes at Lorain County Community College, or done anything real specific, or you know, kind of immersed yourself into whether it's a business class or you know, something that has helped you along the way too?
No, man. Being a designer and doing shows and traveling, I never had the time to even take a business class. So it was kind of based off of putting myself around people, other designers, and just picking people's brains throughout the year and just learning it on our own. Looking things up, that's why I'm saying, like, you can mold. I'm a self-taught designer on already, you know, the sewing and the designing. So then, you know, working with Mia, we just kind of did it on our own. I mean, we contacted like the Urban League in our first year or two and got little feedback from them. But like, as far as taking classes and stuff like that, it never happened because never at the time. It was always like a consistent growing the brand, growing the business, and going forward.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.
So if you were working or if a young designer came to you, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would tell them to get into fashion if you really love it, because it's going to be a lot of long nights and a lot of stress for, it's a lot of fun that comes with it and excitement, but there's always that you have to meet deadlines and for people that when you're making pieces. And so you really got to be in it for the long run and not just in it for the hype. And yeah, you have to know business. So you have to pitch yourself around people, or you do have to find time to take the classes. The thing that, for me, I was for 7 years while my brand was out, I was working with kids at a treatment center, and I did go to fashion school for like a half a year, and I was running the brand. So I never had time to even wrap my head around taking business classes. So I just, like I said, I had to learn it on my own, but you got to love it, and you got to be willing to put yourself out there and not be insecure. If you have the traits and skills, like, just go for it. I never looked back when I started. I said, I'm going to just do this. I don't really care what family says. I don't really care what friends say, because friends are going to be insecure, especially with fashion, if you're doing that on a high level. And then if you start working with celebrities and stuff like that, like people that are living, and it sounds bad, but they're like living everyday lives, which is fine. They're working their jobs and you're living this fun life. You know, you got to have a thick skin, because it's going to be jealous people.
Yeah. And I, like you said, I mean, it's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of hard work. I imagine. And, hopefully you're at least kind of looking out into the future. You know, one of the things I think, Lisa and I see on a regular basis through the chamber and through the SBDC is that, are you going to be able to retire sometime? Are you going to be able to bring other people in? Are you going to be able to have your best life once you reached all these heights? And you've got, you've reached a lot, and you've got a long, way to go to get even higher and better. But at some point, mm-hmm. you're going to want to build that house on the lake in on East Erie or on West Erie, and be able to relax and be able to enjoy some of the fruits of your labors too.
Yeah, I mean, and I talked to me about like a 5-year plan. Like I do want to keep bringing people on and building the team. So, but I'm going to be sewing till I'm 80, 90 years old, but I'm not going to be doing the long nights. I have actually been kind of chiming it down year by year. I mean, I used to work 8 hours, get off, run the boutique for 3 hours in the evening, and then stay and work on pieces for fashion shows. I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
So I was literally getting like 3 hours of sleep every day for 5 days a week. So I don't do that anymore. As you get older, you get smarter as how you're going to work. So we work a lot during the day, and so I don't have to work crazy nights, but, the team will keep building on the internship program is really good. And that consists of, in hopes of interns getting a job with us or them moving on and for other opportunities. So we try to base that as a foundation,
So what's the next goal you're working toward? Like, what's that next level of success? Is there something that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
What do I want to do that I haven't done? I mean, I still want to keep working with celebrities. I feel like that's a good thing because it gets your name out there more. So that's a big goal for me, is to keep getting more celebrity clients.
When you look at the celebrities, is there someone you'd really love to dress?
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to work a deal with trying to get Michelle Obama dressed, even though she's not first lady anymore. And
she's still pretty awesome.
Really want to dress Beyonce. And my big goal is to dress LeBron before he retires. So those are my three right now.
All right, Michelle, Beyonce, or LeBron, if you're listening, call us.
Yeah.
I've been working on LeBron's stylist the last year. Like, okay. I've been in contact with her, which is good. So hopefully something happens. The All-Star game is here in Cleveland this year, and I've dressed Chris Paul before. So okay. The players have seen my clothes. It's just about, you know, getting more the stylist to get the pieces and get the pieces on them. So I just look at, like, being from Ohio and one of the top menswear designers in Ohio is like, I gotta dress LeBron before he retires, man.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
It seems like a natural transition. A lot of the designers sort of get into, like, home furnishings or furniture. I mean, do you see Javon, you know, on plates, or Javon on, you know, a living room couch, or on drapes or something along the lines of that? I'm just trying to think of, you know, what you see in the stores these days.
I mean, I've been working on jewelry. I love jewelry. So we've been doing some personal pieces for myself and just trying them out and seeing what people like. So, like, Nielsen's has made a couple custom pieces with my logo on it. So we've been doing that. So hopefully jewelry would take off. As far as interior design and designing as a whole, I try not to bring up, because there's so many pieces alone from the brand that we have to, like, put up, and there's racks in the back because there's so many clothes. So I try not to do too many things. We've been doing more accessories, like sneakers and socks and stuff, and trying to bring them on little by little, like duffel bags and stuff. So down the road, yes, like, I've had another name for a lingerie line that I haven't even launched, and that was like 5 years ago that I started doing logo design and stuff for. So it's all about right timing. And even though a lot of people know about the brand here in Ohio, I still feel like I just want to keep pushing this brand first before I get into other design aspects.
That's great. Well, it's been great to watch your business grow and see your pieces. And we're really excited to continue to be part of it. Tony, any other questions before we wrap everything up?
I guess if you had, you know, a crystal ball and you looked into the crystal ball 10 years from now, are there more boutiques on Broadway? Are there more stores? Are we recreating something where some competitors in a good way want to be near where Javon has a boutique, and, you know, kind of be the place that somebody goes to, you know, go shopping just like it used to be in the downtown area?
Yeah, I mean, in 10 years, Lorraine, well, downtown area is going to be pretty crazy. So I'm excited for it, because when we did the pop-up shop, I made a comment in 2012. I said, it's going to take about 10 years to get the street going, and I'm fine with that. And next November would be the 10th year, next year. So, and we're already going in a good, going forward. So I'm excited for that. I want other stores down here. I don't really look at it as competition. It's more options for people. You know, they want to see.
Correct. Yeah.
Or like a Crocker Park. You're not just going for one store. You want to pop in a few stores, you know, get a top.
Well, and again, I think the history that was in downtown Lorraine from Ted Jacobs and Smith and Gerhardt's and all those stores, they used to do fashion shows. My mom was a hairdresser in the store in the location that is Speak of the Devil. And, you know, she used to do hair for the women that would be in the fashion show that would be at the Palace on the stage. So, you know, there is some precedent for it. And I think, you know, it's kind of nice to see the throwback to going back that way again too. And you know, for people who are unfamiliar, I don't know how excited you were, but I remember seeing the pictures of it when you did a fashion show at the Lighthouse. I mean, again, how many people have an opportunity? Okay. You might be at Madison Square Garden or where, I'm not even sure where the fashion, is that at the Met? I'm not sure where the fashion show in New York is, but, you know, you are on the freaking Lighthouse in Lake Erie.
It's funny, cause I did my show this summer I made that comment. I said, you know, I've done New York and Paris, but we brought New York and Paris here to Lorraine because When I did my show in Paris, it was on Champs-Élysées, right? It was at the Marriott on Champs-Élysées, but it was just a straight runway in a hotel. I'm like, I've done locations here. You're talking about the Rose Garden that looked better than Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to bring people around to this, just that train of thought. Like, when we do a lighthouse, that's like crazier than New York. It's like,
it is, right? You know,
these locations are crazy to have fashion shows at. So I do want people to experience how, like, I get the chills when I'm thinking about these crazy ideas. So yes, we're going to keep pushing the limit.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I didn't realize that you had a Simmons connection. I'm a graduate of Admiral King, too. And the Simmons name in basketball, they went hand in hand when I was in school. I graduated in 82, but, I'm not sure. I don't think there was a Simmons in 82. I think it was maybe 79 or a couple of years before that, maybe 80.
Yeah, I'll show you my dressing room here. Here's my basketball. There.
Who would have thought that young basketball player would be designing for celebrities?
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding.
Yeah. So what do your friends and family say now?
A lot of my teammates, like, they're like, man, I do. You would be in class sketching sneakers. I'm like, yeah, I know, man. I just try to really put that into my future and make it work. You know, like, they remember all that stuff. So when people see me out, like, they do acknowledge that. So it's really cool going forward. Like, and then I don't hold grudges if people, it was for me as an education for being a designer in Lorraine. So it's like, if people don't know it, you got to show it. So, you know, bringing what I see in New York and Paris back here to Lorraine is really cool to do. So I really never hold grudges about that because it's always been an education anyway.
Well, you know, there's always going to be naysayers, but I think your story really speaks to following your dream and your passion, you know, can lead to success. And so that's awesome. And I think that's good advice for young future entrepreneurs.
And you're homegrown and your city loves you. And I think they're proud of you. And I think it says a lot that you're still here and you want to make it as successful as they want you to become successful. So I think the one thing that Lorraine and Lorraine County does really, really well. And I think cities like Lorraine, and believe me, there is a Lorraine in every state, you know, around us. Mm-hmm. They want to see success come from their residents, and they don't want to be forgotten. They want you to stand up there when you're receiving an award, you know, giving a shout out back to the teacher that you had, the first person who bought your first pair of tennis shoes or whatever it is, because that made a difference. Somewhere along the line, somebody made a difference that says, you know what, I grew up in this great community and they still love me at the end of the day. So I think that says a lot about you. It says a lot about your upbringing, and it says a lot about Lorraine, because that's what helped form you too.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I would be in art class and my teacher, Mr. Raffalides, he would sit down next to me talking about his trips to Paris and him spending time and speaking French. And that really stuck with me. I was like, all right, I want to do this too in the future. So these schools really did mold me into the person that I am.
That's good. That's great to hear. You know, there's so many bad things you hear about public schools today. And I think there's a lot of good that still comes out of it, especially when you've got teachers that care and people that care. So,
yeah,
that's all I got, Lisa. Javon, you got anything, any last minute recommendations or anything you want to say to anybody who might be listening to us?
And just keep pushing on whatever you're doing. Like I said, don't get discouraged, because there is a lot of, you know, with social media, it does come with a lot of people doing a lot of creative things, but just try to be original and be yourself and keep with it. Stay positive.
Awesome. Those, we don't need anything else. Those are good closing words. Thanks so
absolutely.
Much.
Thanks, Javon.
Appreciate it.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.